So yeah, if you come and sitting on that top step.
Morning, my name's Stu Cran. I'm married to Mia, have two adult children, and I'm the chaplain at Mountain Creek State High. Ryan Smith has asked me to talk this morning about our Get With God retreat and a bit of the background to that and some thoughts around solitude, silence, and seeking God in those spaces. First of all, let me start by saying that the journey that I'm going to be talking about, it's all God. God has been active in the whole thing. I've just had the privilege of walking the journey with him in it. The first Get With God under Good Life's banner started in 2018, December 2018. Dan Pennington, some of you may remember Dan, and you're probably smiling as I say his name. He had that effect on people. We ran the first one in December 18. And December last year, just gone, is our Get With God retreat number 4. So we've had 4 amazing experiences under Good Life. The purpose of the Get With God, people say, what's it about? What is Get With God about? Well, as the name suggests, it's about getting with God. It's about getting away from the busyness and distractions and about helping young people realize that Christianity is actually about a personal, intimate, interactive relationship with Jesus. It's not just about religion, obeying the rules, doing the stuff. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. So a bit of my journey, I guess, going back to some of the background where this all came from. I was on pastoral staff at Helensville Baptist many years ago. And a friend of mine came to me one day and said, Stu, do you want to do a solo? And I'm like, a solo? What is a solo? What do you mean? And he said, we go up to the Gold Coast hinterland, up into the rainforest. We spend a day alone with God, and we'll get together and have dinner at the end of it and just talk about what happened. So I thought, yeah, I'm up for it. He was a good mate. So we got up early, watched the sunrise up the hill, and then we went different directions in the rainforest, to the Purlingbrook Falls it was. I remember getting to the bottom of the falls and jumping down into the creek and rock hopping. Turned this corner about 300 metres away, and there were these gorgeous rock pools, crystal clear water, and not a person around. That day was a paradigm shift for me. It changed my life in terms of understanding something about what it means to intentionally seek God. You know, you had quiet times, I've had them, but to actually take significant time out to slow down and to listen and to be in God's presence. The experience of that was just incredible. So much so that I wanted young people to experience it as well. I was youth and young adults pastor down there. And I thought, this is such a significant thing for me. I want other people to get it. You know, it's a bit like evangelism, isn't it? We have this relationship with God and it does amazing things in us, and we just want other people to know it and to know him. So I started running Get With God weekend retreats. My dad ran a small group retreat center at Glasshouse Mountains. He was very much into pastoral renewal retreats where they'd go away for 5 days and just be brutally honest with each other. Saved lives, saved ministries, and saved marriages, those retreats. So we got to use his facility, which was many rooms, big meeting room, commercial kitchen, the whole deal. And so I'd take young people up on a Friday night. We'd have some fun, have dinner together. Then we'd spend the night, start off praying together. We'd have a bit of time worship together. First thing Saturday morning, we'd get up and do a session on how to spend a day alone with God. A bit of just an intro on that, tips, hints, hand out some resources. Then we'd climb Mount Gungun and we would give the students 2-3 hours, maybe 4 hours alone. We'd come back down, have a water fight, or is it a water fight, barbecue, and then we'd meet up in the big room and we'd talk about what God showed us. We'd talk about our experience. Some students said, I spent 3 hours looking at an ant. Other students talked about things that God showed them, conviction about sin in their life. Regularly there was this sense that God just told me he loves me. And I was overwhelmed by that sense that God actually told me that. Like that's... it changes their lives. I've seen so much amazing stuff happen in that space. Anyway, I left Helensvale. We came up here. I came up here about 16 years ago and working as a chaplain. And because I'm near Fraser Island and I love Fraser Island, I decided that I'd go on a personal retreat. So I started by planning to go for 3 days, but I gave myself the freedom to stay for 5 if I needed to. And I did. I stayed for the 5. Since then, I do 7-8 day retreats whenever I go away by myself. It's about slowing down. The first couple of days, that's what it is. It's slowing down, denoising. You know, a head is so full of noise and busyness and distractions. And that might just be sleeping, swimming in a lake. I love four-wheel driving. It just not having to be anywhere, achieve anything, deal with anyone. And I find as I start slowing down, I start hearing more, I start seeing more. It's not easy. I remember that one of the early years I was down there, I'd had breakfast on day two, and I was sitting in my chair, just finished breakfast, and I started thinking about the list. I'm very much a Martha. I started thinking about the list. I've got to do the washing up, I've got to adjust my tent poles, I've got to check my battery charge on the car, adjust my tire pressures. And as I was about to get up and go do all this stuff, it's just me camping, by the way, this voice, this thought came to my head. And I really believe the Lord said, why? Why, Stu? Why do you need to do all that? And I thought, it's right, I don't. I've got nowhere to be. I'm here for 5 days by myself. So I made another coffee and sat down. Next hour and a half, just sitting in that chair was hard work because I'm such a busy, driven person. But it was so important in the process of slowing down, intentionally slowing down. During one of those Fraser Island trips, I had a bit of a vision to do something with Good Life. The vision that God gave me when I was on Fraser on my own retreat about running something for the young people at Good Life to Fraser, it's evolved over the years. There's been subtle changes and fine tuning. And I think each year it gets better. There seems to be a greater sense of openness amongst the students that are coming, but ultimately, God is active in doing stuff. I'd really love to tell you a bit about the Fraser camp itself. You know, the retreats have been a fantastic experience. I've absolutely loved them because I love Fraser. But I've also get the feedback from the students that come away and often asking me if they can come again. So I only do year 10 to 12 students, but last year we ran another one for some postgraduate students who were so keen to sort of go to the next level, and we did a 4-day solo with them, big day solos. It's a 6-day camp retreat to Fraser Island. We have 5 nights there. We camp the first 2 nights at Waddy Point, and then the last 3 at Central Station up in the rainforest. There's quite a move between those two situations. The beach, Waddy is very much beach orientated, sand dunes, you know, a lot like North Shore, for example. But the rainforest is something quite unique. Massive trees, 50 meter canopies, the temperature's cooler. And even for me in my own solos, I love transitioning to Central. There's something spiritual that happens in that space. It's almost a sacred thing in many ways for me because I've been going for so many years. Before we go on camp, I meet with every one of the students individually and I talk to them about what it's about. So I explain really clearly what the retreat's about, and I want to know that they are super keen to come. If they're half-hearted, I'm probably don't let them come. You know, nothing worse than being there on a solo when some student go, this is really boring, I don't want to do this. I'm like, well, don't come if you don't want to do it. So I actually spent a lot of effort in that. And I remember when Dan and I were talking initially, we didn't promote it as a holiday camp. We didn't go and say, yeah, Fraser's exciting, come to Fraser, we're going to forward drive and swim. It wasn't about getting numbers. It was about getting crew who wanted to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And every year I have students, even last year, I have 2 or 3 students from my school who were coming. And they said to me, you know, I really need that. I really feel that my relationship with Jesus has gone cold and I need to do something to reinvigorate that. I want to come. And they, just amazing the things that God did for them and what he showed them and revealed to them. It's confidential, I'm not going to tell you, but some really cool stuff happened on that camp. Before we go, we also meet together as a group. We do a group deal. We meet each other, get to know each other. And that's all about starting the group dynamic. If we can create an emotionally safe place where people feel comfortable sharing, then it's so much better. Hearing the testimony of other people is such an encouragement, you know. So we work hard to try and create that. It's, very cool. We also, each day we have a group time where at the start of the day we group up. We may talk about what's happening in the day. And at the end of the day, we have a group up time where we debrief stuff that's happened through the day. plenty of opportunity for conversation, for sharing our own stories. Our leadership team that I take away is a really core group. They love the Lord and they're happy to talk about the Lord. That's really important because it's those incidental conversations that happen during the week are also a part of that discipleship journey for all of us, to each other, you know. The exposure on camp starts pretty early, exposure to solos. The first night, we drive to Wadi, we set up camp, and we climb a sand dune. There's this massive sand dune at the back of Wadi Point. If you're smiling, it's probably because you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. We climb right up the top, 8 o'clock at night, in the dark. If there's a full moon, awesome. If there's no moon, the stars are amazing. How many people do that? Well, we do it. And when we get up the top, we're as a group, but I just encourage everyone to have a period of silence. So we sort of separate a little bit and they just sit in silence. And I challenge them to open their awareness. What are they sensing? What are they feeling, smelling, hearing? I let that time go depending on the group. Usually it goes for half an hour. Almost every time someone says to me, "What? That wasn't half an hour." They really value it. And so much so the next night they come back and say, "Can we do that again?" I'm like, "We're just standing, sitting in the sand, silent and still for half an hour. You want to do that again?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So afterwards we talk about the stuff that they heard and sensed. I use this term peripheral awareness. You know what peripheral vision is? When you're, peripheral vision is having this capacity so I can look at something and at the exact same time be aware of everything that's in my field of view. So when you're playing sport, you need to develop peripheral vision. When you're driving a car safely, you want peripheral vision. But there's also this peripheral awareness that I think steps into the spiritual realm as well. And I think we practice stuff in the physical, it can help us grow in the spiritual. And so sitting and being aware, learning to be silent, learning to deal with the thoughts that are running around in your head, start to listen and smell and feel, affects us. I think we can grow in that way spiritually as well. We walk through life each day, there's this sense of, what is God doing around me? Am I walking with a narrow vision of life, just looking at what's in front of me? And as blokes, we do that so much. We just tunnel vision, you know? But to have this capacity to actually slow down and look around and sense what God might be saying to us. You know, you walk in a room, maybe there's someone sad or upset. How often do we walk straight in and ignore them? We don't even notice it. Maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, "I want you to go talk to that person." Slowing down and developing that ability to listen is a part of that process of developing our peripheral spirituality, to coin a better term, you know. So that opportunities to do that are smattered throughout the week. We go to Central Station, and on the second night, we go for a swim at Lake Birrabeen. Beautiful lake. The water's like a swimming pool. White sandy bottom. This year, December just gone, there wasn't any breeze. So the water was like glass. No moon. The stars were incredible because there's no light pollution there. The stars reflecting in the sky were reflecting in the water. So of course we go out and there's a lot of fun and yee-haw and, you know, stirring each other up. But at some point I say, "Okay, let's go silent. Everyone, let's just settle. Let's just settle." And they all bob down in the water and go still. And I found myself actually starting to rotate 360 degrees because the stars are so incredible. And half a dozen were doing the same thing. And at the end, after it, I just say, "What did you notice?" It was frogs, it was shooting stars. And one of the students said to me, "You know, I realize how small I am. In context of the universe, I'm nothing. I'm just a dot. And yet God loves me." He was just realizing this dynamic of him and his connection with the Creator, you know. So we go to a beautiful space. Fraser is absolutely amazing. Day two session starts with how to spend a day alone with God. We've done up a journal. Dan did the draft of that. We fine-tuned it a bit. We hand out some resources and we go up to Wadi Point. We do 2 to 3 hours at Wadi Point. They take their Bible, their journal, their worship music, whatever's going to help them. Not stuff that's going to distract them. We want to minimize distractions. That first 2 or 3 hours is usually pretty hard work for these guys. They've never done it before. It's just a struggle. But the struggle is good. Beauty benefits come from discipline and pushing into that space. So, "No, Lord, I'm not going to get up and walk away. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to just be distracted. I'm going to sit here and try and focus my attention on you. I want to hear from you." And it's not about achieving some set programmatic agenda. It's about learning to be still. It's about learning to wait. It's about learning to listen, developing that awareness. That's a big part of it. Of course, after that, we go up to the ocean lake and have a swim. You know, we spend that time hanging out. Great incidental conversations happen all week. They're so, so valuable. When we get to Central, we then do a solo walk. So they've had 2 or 3 hours sitting on the hill. Then we do a walk from Central Station to Lake Mackenzie. We're in convoy, but we're not near each other. So it's a walk together, but it's solo. They're in solitude. Some students just love that. I love that. Put my worship music in and just walk. Walk, sing, talk, pray, you know. Some struggle with it, but again, the struggle's good. It's about growing into that space. We get to Mackenzie, have lunch, great afternoon. The next day, the last day of camp, the second last day before we head home, the students get to have 6 hours plus in solo. So from usually 9:30, 10 to about 4, 4:30, they get the Central Station day use area and they just spread out. When the students come back from that time, almost always they say, it wasn't long enough. I want more of this. Not so much the solo, but I want more of God. I experienced something of God today that perhaps I've not experienced before, and I want more of Him. I want more of that. Such a cool, as I said, it's a privilege for me to be a part of that. Ryan and I have been talking about men's retreats and making it available to blokes. And in fact, God's given me a picture of that many years ago as well, of doing something for men particularly. Well, looks like it's starting to rain, so I'm just going to step in and keep talking about men's retreats. You know, I think as men, generally speaking, I'm sure there's many of you who this doesn't fit, but I think generally as Aussie men, we're not very good at reflecting. We're not very good at slowing down and listening and thinking about what's important in life, what are my priorities. It's a book I was reading recently by Schneider called Becoming a King. And in that book, he talks about busyness as being the enemy of intimacy. Busyness is the enemy of intimacy with ourselves. We fill our lives with doing. It impacts on our being and we become superficial. We then want to put up a mask where we don't actually have to face myself, face my brokenness. That will end up leading us to a space of loneliness. Busyness is the enemy of intimacy with other people. If I'm not prepared to face myself, to accept my own brokenness, then I'm not going to be willing to be open and vulnerable to other people. And the thing I've found as I've journeyed through this solo experience over the years is not that I become less broken, but I become more willing to look at my brokenness in God's presence. And when I do that, I realize more and more the power of His grace. God's amazing grace. Spend as much time you want to think about God's grace and you just scratch the surface. It is deeper and wider than we could ever imagine. And there is something freeing. You see, when I really know that God loves me unconditionally, that He loves me in spite of what I do, not because of what I do, fear, shame disappear. And shame is a thing that stops us as blokes facing ourselves and other people. So for me, taking time out and soloing is a part of this journey of becoming healthier, becoming wholer. It also affects our intimacy with others and with God. You take time out to listen, to spend time with. If you don't spend time with someone, how are you going to grow in your relationship with them? You know, and I think about my relationship with Jesus. Again, we say this over and over, isn't it true? It's not religion or rules, it's relationship. Jesus is alive. He rose again. John 6 says that He is in us as we are in Him. You know, there's this potential for intimacy with the King of Kings far more deeper than anyone else that we can imagine. And yet sometimes we just run through life and we miss out on the beauty, the peace, the power, the joy of knowing that God loves you personally and intimately. And for me, solos are about that. Slowing down, learning to listen and experience His reality. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I'm God. It doesn't say run around being busy to know that he is God. I don't want to make too much of that exegetically, but there's something in that, isn't there? I also think of Jesus and the amount of time, number of times that he took time out to be alone with the Father. Example, after the feeding of the 5,000, his disciples went out in the lake. He went up on the mountain to pray by himself. It's interesting to note that after that time alone with his Father, he performed a miracle. He walked on the water to his disciples. I think of Mary and Martha. You know, Jesus goes to these ladies' house and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, talking and spending time with him. And Martha's running around busy, doing all the cooking and the food preparation. I'm a bit of a Martha, so I get that. Come on, Jesus, there's stuff to do here. And she's just sitting there, lazy. Tell her to get up and help me. And what does he say? How does he respond? He says, Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things when only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better, and it won't be taken from her. In fact, Eugene Peterson in the Message version says she's chosen the main meal, the main course, and it's not going to be taken from her. Life has so many things that push in, that demand our attention, that lead us to busyness. When Jesus says, relationship with me, sitting with me, talking with me, hearing me, that's a priority. And in our busy world, how often we don't do that. But there's life in that space. There really is. A friend of mine many years ago talked about flying a plane pre-GPS days, leaving point A to go to point B, maybe 1,000 kilometres away. Flight back then was never a straight line. Always went like this. You've got wind drift. You've got the Earth's magnetic pull. You've got irregularities in the control gear on the plane. You've got to regularly check your bearings and adjust your flight path. I think in life it's similar, isn't it? You can head off course completely. I don't believe men, we need to have midlife crisis, do you know? And I think taking time out and sitting with the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you think about my life? What do you want to say to me? I want to hear from you. It's that space of checking our bearings and readjusting our flight path. I think it's really important. Now, this is not just for men, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about blokes because I'm a bloke and I know how thick-headed we are. But absolutely, we all have a relationship with Jesus. And being willing to take that time out, be intentional in seeking him, is something that is for all of us. It's about relationship with Jesus, simply put. You know, we have our daily quiet times. 15-minute, I guess if you're super spiro, you probably have half-hour quiet times each day. But you know, I find that if I'm having a quiet time, sometimes the Lord will put his finger on something. Yeah, what about this, Stu? And I'm like, I gotta go, it's busy. You know, and I don't have that time to sit and rest in it. But when I'm on my solo, after 3 or 4 days, he's already prodded me a couple of times. Lord, Stu, what about this issue? What about that relationship? Or what about this thing, you know? And it's an opportunity for me to argue with him about that stuff. That's why I love walking in my solos, because I can argue with him. And the argument's not to prove that he's wrong. The argument is a journey of me coming to a point of submitting, of surrendering to his will. But for me, that takes time. It doesn't happen quickly because I'm a bit slow, a bit thick-headed. So for me, these solos are life-giving for me. I value them so much. How would it be if you, half a day, maybe a day, and said, I'm going to spend this day just with the Lord. Get away from people. Find a beautiful spot where there's no distractions. Leave your phone behind. Take a journal, a Bible, worship music, and get away. Your whole goal being, Lord, I just want to spend this time with you. How valuable is that going to be? For me, it's the hardest day to get to. Solos, everything pushes in on them. But when I'm there, I know that it's the most important time of my year when I'm in that space, as Jesus said to Martha. Men, keep an eye out. Ryan and I are going to be holding an info session in the near future to see who's interested in coming away, probably Fraser Island, to do a bit of a men's solo retreat thing. Just to get ideas, to see who's interested and how it might look, and then we can shape it. But there'll be 3 things on these retreats. One will be, you'll have time alone with God. We will give you some tips and hints to how to do it. Not programming, but just some things to guide you in that space. And there'll be opportunity to share with other men. No pressure in that space, but an opportunity there. So thanks for letting me talk about this today. I really value it, and I'd just like to close by with prayer if I can. Is that all right? Lord Jesus, you love us more than we can imagine. Your death on the cross was not just that of a man dying, but it was of God carrying the sin of the world. And so, Lord, as we enter into another year, a new year, 2022, Lord, would you draw us to yourself? Help us to know what it means to abide in you, to remain in you, to walk in that intimate relationship. Give us ears to hear what you want to say to us, Father, that you'd be honored in all of it, and that our lives might be a reflection of you in some small way. In Jesus' name, amen.